hotels are weighted, transient, temporary spaces. People come and go, often under the cover of night. Some come for holidays, while others for intimate, sequestered acts. Hotels are places of love and death. One thing's for sure, stepping into a hotel often feels like stepping into another world. And all too often, we can brush up against those who were there before us and remain long after their reservation has expired. The following three stories were all recorded at my live Ghost Stories by the Fire storytelling events at the Barrow's Intense Tasting Room in Brooklyn, New York. The tales span three different states, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado, and they are as funny as they are spooky. We begin with someone you may have heard before on this podcast, psychic medium Heather Carlucci with Second Sight, recorded on September 14th, 2021.
So what I'd like to do is invite you guys tonight to share your stories. But before you come on up, I always like to begin and end the evening with a featured storyteller. Because what we're talking about really is the paranormal, really are these liminal in-between spaces, it's always my joy to bring my dear friend, Heather Carlucci, who is a medical medium. She believes that all messages are sent with love. And the reason that the messages are coming through her are because they are meant with love for the people who are receiving them. So I would like to welcome to the stage my very dear, wonderful friend, Heather Carlucci.
Tonight I'm going to read a story that I was asked to write, sort of combining my old career and my new career. I do this full time now. But before that, I was a chef. Sasha, whenever I get off the stage, Sasha goes, "Is that completely true? Or did you do write that?" And because she always said, it can be true, it could be a story you wrote, it could be whatever, right? And except for one where I was like, I didn't have an ending and I added an ending. So far, all my stories are true. You know, it is very rare for two people to see a ghost or a spirit at the same time. That's true. In order for that to happen, it takes for those two people to be in the same space energetically at that one split second. And then it takes those people to be in the same space energetically as the ghost, right? Because like energy sees like energy. And then it also takes an unusual circumstance to bring all of this together. Something that puts the body in an unusual space. Not including the seeing of the ghost, of course, but just so you're not your usual self using your usual defenses. If you ever noticed, if you've ever seen anything, it is almost like that. And if it is a longer moment, it sort of sits, right? Almost like time stops. So about 6 years ago, when I was leaving my last career as a chef, I took a three-month-long consulting job on Captiva Island off the coast of Florida. The Robert Rauschenberg Foundation had called and asked that I start a chef-in-residency program at the artist residency. For those of you who don't know, Rauschenberg was an American master of modern art around the same time as Warhol, and like Warhol, had seen his fortune in his lifetime from his art. So he had on Captiva an estate right between the ocean and the bay with many houses and artist studios. And upon his death, it was made into a residency where chosen artists would come and work pretty much in paradise. So Bob, as he was known in his passing, we all just talked about Bob because we were all there because of Bob, was also a foodie even before the word existed, and I was hired to sort of create a patch of that legacy. So packed up my 8-year-old and moved us down there. And the house with the kitchen where I worked was called the Weeks House. And it was bought from an elderly couple just so Bob could have a house to cook and entertain in. The front of the house was now the back of the house in use, and everyone would walk around the back deck through the most heavy sliding doors I have ever seen. In order to get anything in, you get there, and you couldn't just do one arm and hold something. You had to, like, put it down and then open it and then bring everything in and then two arms again and slide the sliding doors. And through them was this open kitchen where all the original cookware Bob had bought up from the Bowery before it was a thing to do. And it was a room where a very young Wolfgang Puck would cook for Rauschenberg and his friends. Just had a lot of history. I was told when I got there that I would have an assistant named Lori. And Lori was helping out and cleaning the artist houses on the side and was really looking forward to working with me. And we got along famously. I freaking love Lori. And it just so happens that she is also a psychic medium. So one day, while cooking and making spreadsheets, she told me that when she was in the Bay House, she felt Bob there all the time. And that didn't surprise me. My daughter and I had spent one night there when we arrived on the island before our house was ready, and I gotta tell you, it was occupied. It was a presence so big and so dense, I was surprised that when I woke up in the morning that it was light and breezy like any other morning. I expected almost to wake up in, like, mud. Like, that's how heavy it was. I kept checking in on my daughter in her bedroom. So we decided that one day while work was light, we would go to the Bay House together, like, just to see. And it was a wide open layout. It was more like a loft than a house. Along the bayside, there were three bedrooms with bathrooms for each and a long hallway that connected them to the kitchen. And as I remember, and I was very chatty as we walked there, blah, 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 blah. We walked up the steps of the stilted house, walked into the living room and walked around, and it was, like, huge. It really was like an artist's loft space, but had, like, manatees in the bay outside. It was extraordinary. I didn't really think much of anything. It was daylight, and we were just talking, and I was like, well, this is just fun. Let's just get out of the kitchen. So we walked in the start of the hallway. I said to her, I remember the hallway and the second bedroom feeling the most dense. And Lori said, yeah, but he also just follows me around the house as I clean. And he walked into the hallway, and as I looked down the hallway, plain as day was Bob. White pants and an untucked button-up shirt, calm look on his face, walking toward, and then he was gone. He didn't fade or walk into anything or even disappear. The only way I can describe it is that he, like, folded up into another dimension, and he was gone. It was so vivid and so fluid. And then I heard Lori say to my left, oh, my God, that was him. And I snapped my head toward her, and I said, you saw that too? She looked shocked, and she went, white pants? And all I could say was, excellent. We walked out of the house quickly like a couple of teenagers in a bad movie. I mean, we were so excited. Fucking Rauschenberg, right? A few weeks went by when Lori and I were in the Weeks house, and we hadn't really thought about it much since then because a lot of other weird stuff was going on while we were together, so, like, who could keep track? I suddenly asked Lori if she had seen Bob again since we were there, and she said no, but the energy in the Bay House had lifted, and it changed since we were there. And then the big sliding glass doors flew open, and we turned to look at it, and we just shocked. We stayed still, and suddenly the floorboard started to creak like footprints, starting at the door, going through the kitchen, in through the sitting area, and out into the dining room. We looked at each other, and then the glass door slammed shut. Thank you.
At our first Ghost Stories by the Fire event, we had no idea who would show, how it would go, and if anyone in the audience would be willing to get up and share a spooky story on the spot. Lucky for us, at our very first event, the following storyteller happened to walk by. He hopped up to the mic and told the following tale and then disappeared into the night. Here is Ed with Mirrored Soul, which was recorded on Tuesday, September 14th, 2021.
All right. I got a real ghost story for y'all. I was about 12 years old when this happened, right? I was staying down in Ashburn, Georgia. We was at a hotel, an old hotel called the Quality Inn, right? So I was sleeping in the bed, and I woke up in the middle of the night. And at the time, I was sleeping in the bed with my little nephew. He was younger than me. So if I was 12, he had to be about 5, right? So, and my sister was in the other bed. You know how a hotel room, right? We all should know how a hotel room work in here, right? So boom, right? So I'm laying in bed with my nephew, and I wake up in the middle of the night. So we all, let's try to visualize a hotel. You know, you got the little bathroom area over there where you got the sinks and stuff with the mirror. And then you got the little desk here with the mirror. And then you got the TV area, right? We all been, I hope everybody been in a hotel. You know, it's a great experience if you haven't. You know, I would advise everybody to try one day. You know, it might work for you. But listen. So I woke up in the middle of the night, right? And the light over there was on. And I saw an old lady with very long white hair. And she was just brushing her hair in the mirror over there, right? And I saw this. Listen, when I went to sleep, the lights was off. That light was on. Just that light was on when I woke up. And this lady was braiding. This is a real ghost story. It's real. I woke up. I really woke up, y'all. Like, this is... I was awake, all right? This is no dream. This thing floated from one mirror to, remember I told you I was another mirror in the desk here, because everybody know how hotel rooms work, right? So it was another mirror in the desk here. This thing floated from that point to this point, right? I watched it. Watched it. Now, me and my normal mind as a normal 12-year-old, I would have ran out the bed and jumped in with my sister, but I had my nephew in the bed with me, so I couldn't leave him. I had to be, like, brave, so I had to watch this thing like this. So I watched this thing float across the room, and the thing sat down at the other table there and started brushing her hair. I guess she wasn't done fixing herself up at the last mirror, because I saw her fixing herself at the other mirror. I thought she would have just walked down and left. She ain't want to leave. She want to hang out. She's doing her thing in the mirror, and it's like I felt her looking at me through the mirror. So I put the covers over my head. I grabbed my nephew. I was like, you ain't going to take him from me while we in the bed together. And we went to sleep. And I woke up, and I'm here today. And I thank y'all.
Horror authors are an interesting bunch, and one of my favorite regular featured storytellers at Ghost Stories by the Fire is the Bram Stoker award-winning novelist Robert Atone. Rob has authored dozens of books, including The Vile Thing We Created, short stories, and he delights in the creepy. Here is the story of the time he and his wife stayed at the real-life Overlook Hotel that inspired Stephen King's famous novel, The Shining. Here's Rob Atone on October 5th, 2021, with Stephen King Screamer.
Everybody's told such wonderful stories tonight, but I was thinking, I was like, what am I going to talk about tonight? Like, what am I going to read one of my stories? What am I going to do? And then I thought about Colorado. I went on a trip with my now wife. She was my girlfriend at the time. We drove, because I'm terrified of flying. I'm a horror author who's only afraid of one thing. And it's not crashing, because goodbye student loans, I don't give a shit. But it's like a control thing for me. I don't know, my shrink told me that. And I was like, whatever you say, I'm paying you. We drove to Colorado. She wanted to go to a Ween concert. Do you guys know Ween, the band Ween? I drove her to Red Rocks, which is like one of the most beautiful venues on the planet. So we go there, and I'm like, I have one condition. We're staying at the Shining Hotel. So I call. It's like months in advance. I get the fancy room that Stephen King had his cocaine fever trip in and wrote the book. And so we get in there. I get out of the car, and the air is so thin that I'm like, I'm dying. I'm like, this is where I die. But nevertheless, I adjust. We check into the hotel. And we have dinner in the hotel. We have cocktails. I ordered the red rum. It was terrible. And we go to bed. And that night, I'm in bed. She's tired. She didn't do any of the three-day driving. I did all of it because it was for her. So I was like, you relax, whatever. She's wonderful to travel with. So we're driving, and we get there. She's tired. And I'm laying there in bed because I'm still juiced up because I'm like, this is the Shining Hotel. Like, I'm going to write a novel now. I'm laying there, and again, I sort of see out of the corner of my eye that this, the room is relatively small in the corner over to here. So, like, if you're laying in bed, you're like this. Over there is the bathroom, rather. I see what I think is a shadow, and I haven't really... I used to be a journalist. I used to go, like, ghost hunting with things and stuff, and it's fun. I love it, whatever. But I've never seen, like, a shadowy thing before. So I see that in the bathroom, and I'm like, nope, I'm out. I'm not into this. She's out like a light. I don't know what her problem was. And so I basically stay up the whole night, and I'm just, like, keeping my eye on the bathroom. I only saw it for, like, a split second, gone, whatever. Morning rolls around. We go to lunch, go to the concert, come back. Oh, we're doing a tour at midnight of the whole grounds. Nobody signed up for this thing except for me and her. So I was like, we're going on a tour. And she's like, it's midnight. And I was like, I don't care. Smoke some weed. It's Colorado. So she does. And I have a cigar. Then we go on the tour. Our tour guide, and I'm not like an eye. I don't look, you know, whatever. I'm a man. She had the largest butt I've ever seen on a human being. It was bizarre. And she was wearing like 1920s attire. So it was like accentuated. And we were the only people. And then like another couple came. They were older. They were fabulous. We go on the tour. We're doing all these things. She's telling us all these stories. I see this trap door that Houdini had performed and fell through. It was really interesting. My wife started playing. She wasn't my wife at the time. But she started playing the piano because the ghost in the Performing Arts Center loves when someone plays the piano for them. So I was like, that's going to be bad. So she's playing the piano, and I'm just thinking in the back of my head, it's like, I write this stuff. Like, what's going to happen? A ghost is going to be very into her now. Lo and behold, we go down into the cellar of the facility. Like, the whole structure is connected by these underground tunnels, and the whole mountain is limestone, and the whole prevailing thought regarding ghosts and stuff is that they attach to limestone because it holds memory and stuff like that. It's interesting. If you look it up, it's kind of cool. Anywho, we're down there, and it's us and another couple. And the tour guide is telling us, the whole butt thing is going to come back in a second, I promise you. I didn't just mention that because I'm a creep, which I am. So the tour guide's telling this fabulous story. It's different ghosts haunting different parts. In the underground tunnels, there's a guy named Remy. Remy is a French immigrant, came to the hotel once it opened. He was like a handyman situation. He did a little bit of everything. He died in the famous explosion that happened at the Stanley Hotel. Ever since then, he haunts the underground tunnels area. So she's telling us this story about Remy. And as she says, my wife has curly black hair. At the time, she had curly black hair. Now she's straight. She's goth her whole life. I love it. And she's telling us the story about Remy prefers women with curly black hair. As soon as she said, I was over like looking this way, taking pictures of the limestone because I'm an idiot. I don't know. I was like, haha, rocks. As soon as she said curly black hair, something blew in my wife's ear, so much so that the hair moved. And I saw it out of the corner of my eye. She spins around and punches me right in the chest. And she's like, asshole. She doesn't sound like that, sort of, maybe. She's like, asshole, what are you doing? And I was like, I was taking a picture of the rock. Like, what? I don't know. What? And then the tour guide was like, what happened? Did something blow in your ear? And she was like, yes. And the tour guide is like, he does that to me all the time. I guess he likes you. I guess he heard the music upstairs because he's the same one that's in the same facility. So I was like, sucker. So as we're going up the stairs back into the main hotel proper. By the way, it's not true that the Stanley Hotel shies away from the idea of like, oh, we're haunted. That's BS. Like, they love it. Like, they own it because that's bazillions for them. Anyway, we're going up the stairs. And as we're going, it's the older couple's like, we're out. This is freaking us out. So they start up. Then it's the tour guide. Then it's us. As we're going up the stairs, the tour guide's dress is pulled above her head. And everything is on display. And I was like, I don't know what just happened. And she was like, yeah, he does that to me. And I was like, that's sexual harassment. You don't have to take that, whether he's alive or dead. So, you know, we leave, whatever, and she was wonderful, and I was going to propose. Because I had the ring, the whole thing, and I think that's another part of it. I didn't want to fly with the ring. So I'm sitting there, and, you know, she's gone to bed, and you basically have full reign of the place when you're staying there. And we were staying in the guest house, which was for bachelors. Back in the day, it was only unmarried men had to stay in the guest facilities. They could not stay with the women, of course. So that's where we were staying. It was beautiful. And I'm out there, and an older gentleman comes in. And I'm just, like, thinking, because, again, I couldn't sleep. And he comes in, and he's like, oh, is everything okay? You enjoying your stay? And I was like, oh, this is beautiful. I'm looking at the Rockies. It's stunningly gorgeous. I'm having a cigar, because it's, like, open. It's, like, the front porch, and it leads into, like, the dining room. Smoking a cigar, enjoying myself. And he's like, well, what, you know, why aren't you asleep? And I'm like, well, my girlfriend's asleep, whatever. And I'm going to probably propose tomorrow. And before we start our way back to New York, he's like, oh, you're from New York. I love New York. New York's great. From the, you know, back east or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And he's like, you know what, man? Marriage is like the best thing. You're going to love it. You know, having a true partner through thick and thin is really fabulous. It's the best decision I ever made. He's an older guy, so I'm like, I'm going to listen to this gentleman. He has experience, and I do not. And I was like, you know, thank you so much. And he's like, hey, I hope you enjoy your stay. And I was like, thanks, man. And he bounces out, just, like, walks down the steps and back towards, like, the main building. And I'm still sitting there. I finish my cigar and let it die like a proper gentleman would. And then I go back into the bedroom, and I lay down. And, again, we were going to stay one more night, so I go back to bed. I don't see the shadow thing, so I'm like, that's fine. I wake up the next day, the wife tells me the doorknob jingled in the night, and I was like, that's weird. I didn't hear it. I was out like a light. So we go to dinner again. We go to the bar. I propose, and we were going to leave, you know, the next day. She's very happy. She said yes, obviously. And as we're getting ready for our final night, you know, we're relaxing, doing things that couples do, I get up, and I walk to the bathroom, and I close the door, and I'm like, not tonight. And I find out the next day, I was like, you know, who's the older gentleman that works here? And they were like, did he look like that? And I look around the corner, and the older gentleman is the painting of the guy who built the place. Mr. Stanley, as in Stanley Steamer, the whole guy who literally built the place. It was identical. I don't know, like, is it an actor? I don't know. Is it somebody they have on staff to be like, go talk to this weirdo, mess with him? But nevertheless, I don't know. Maybe I was tripping balls. I don't think I was. I don't smoke weed, but the red rum might have had something else in it. But nevertheless, I proposed. Got a pep talk from a ghost, apparently. Closed the door to the bathroom so the freaky shadow thing couldn't look at us, and a ghost hit on my wife. So that is all I have for you. Thank you all so much for all of your stories tonight. It was beautiful.
Thank you so much for being part of Ghost Stories by the Fire. Do you have a spooky story, near-death experience, or supernatural happening you'd like to share? I'd love to hear it. Submit your story to sashagraham.com with Ghost Stories by the Fire in the subject line. You might just wind up on this podcast. And if you want to support it and keep the ghost stories coming, head on over to sashagraham.com to check out my books and tarot decks, which are available for purchase at your favorite bookseller. The Ghost Stories by the Fire theme song is titled Lovely, from the original motion picture score of The Deeper You Dig, a film about the lengths a mother will go to find her daughter's killer. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, I'm saving you a seat at the fire.